Welcome to the Toffee Blues, your source for all things Everton. I am Jerry, joined today by Paul, and only Paul. We're rolling as a duo, so if we were in a convertible, this would be a suitable arrangement. Okay? So,
if we were riding a motorcycle, you'd be on the motorcycle, and I'd be in the little cartridge next to it, type thing, like Wallace and Gromit.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to remember which of the Wallace and Gromits where they did that. Because I know they had the van.
A close shave.
One of them as well. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen all of those. My kids love them. Yeah. And by the way, Paul, if you knew anything about me, you would probably be the one driving the motorcycle, and I would be in the cart with goggles on. You know what I mean? It's just sitting there, like, holding something tightly. You know, maybe my laptop bag or something. Just I need porridge something cannon. For, like, comfort. Do what?
Not the porridge cannon.
Oh. the porridge cannon. Do they have the porridge cannon? Oh, he has it in Were Rabbit. That's the one. That's yes. The one where he's shooting the porridge cannon. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah. We are nerds, and that's okay. So Paul, since this is the first time we've recorded this, I promise. So what have you been doing with your Everton downtime? I am just going to guess that maybe you've just been taking it easy, trying to focus on your career like some other kids in their 20s would do, you know, that kind of thing. Is that is that on point, Paul, would you say?
Yeah, you've got the gist of it. I've just been focusing on, you know, learning and growing, getting better at my job, keeping the money rolling in. Try to watch a bit of football where I can. Fortunately, I don't have BT Sport here in England, so I haven't been able to watch much of the European leagues. I have seen the odd cup game. I saw Newcastle and Oxford, I think, last week. That was some good fun. But I'm at the point now where I'm really craving Everton. I'm craving Carlo Fantastico, and I want to get really back into supporting my proper team.
Yeah, I'm legitimately excited. You know, Andre Gomez had that behind closed doors friendly. So Andre Gomez is Andre Gomes. There is a chance that you're telling me there's a chance he could actually get a few minutes in the Arsenal game. That's a good thing, yeah?
I hope so. I've been picturing Andre Gomez kind of like in a laboratory with a kind of like, gentlemen, we can rebuild him type thing. I'm just waiting for this like sort of movie trailer, like unveiling, like Gomez's return. So, like the old like wrestling promos that they used to have, like when someone would come back. Like Gomez's kind of come out of like this, what are they called? Like big tanks type thing where all the white smoke comes out, like when
nice.
The invention gets unveiled and Andre Gomez comes out with that big beam. I can't wait for it.
You're almost describing like the big tank that where they created like Green Goblin in like Spider-Man where
yes,
he kind of breaks the glass and everything. Yeah, that's great. See Gomez, I feel like you just look at him, he seems like he was already created, you know, by I mean, he's just one of those guys where if he didn't play for Everton, I'd want to hate him so bad, because you're like, he's so nice and he's so good looking and he's good at football too. Are you kidding me? You know what I mean? It's like everything's perfect. You know, he's just like, this is not fair. I'm just some schlub, and that's Andre Gomez. You know, so
you know, you're aware of Ian Holloway, aren't you? The English football manager.
Used to manage Palace,
Blackpool. Have you heard his famous quote about Cristiano Ronaldo?
No.
This is really a quote. He said this. He said, when I look at that guy, I just think there's got to be something wrong with him, something that's not perfect. He has great hair. He's a great face. He's great at football. There must be something that's not right. I hope he must have a cock like a hamster. It's got finished, he said. But saying that, my daughter has a hamster, and that hamster's cock is massive.
Oh, my God. What kind of quote is that? That's the craziest thing I've heard. That is fantastic. Oh my gosh. I don't even know what to do with that information, but that's the thing. It's like, I'm trying to imagine, like, you meet Andre Gomez. It's like, it's great because you meet Andre Gomez. He's fantastic. But then at that point, it's like exactly that point where you realize in the world how much of a grubby-looking little troll that I actually am.
Yeah, we did not get dealt the same cards at birth. You look at Andre Gomez. Got some seriously good genetics.
Oh, man. And he's just dead sweet. You know? What do? You know? Okay. I mean, he did a hug-a-thon, for goodness sake. Are you kidding? Anyway. So, all right. So, enough waxing poetic about Andre Gomez for now. For now. Because he'll probably come back, everybody, at some point this season. Hopefully, maybe after this weekend. So we need to explain to all those people who are listening, not viewing, but listening via podcast, what's happening with this particular episode. We're starting off by talking about the right back conundrum moving forward next year, like this summer on, okay? Sidibe and Coleman have obviously been in place doing their thing this season. But we've got an option to buy Sidibe, and Jonjo Kenny has been at Schalke, and he's been no slouch over there in Germany. So we gotta have a conversation about those three, and, you know, do we want two of those? Do we want one of those? Do we want none of those? What's a smart plan moving forward for right back? Okay, have some statistics, but I have a feeling we're just gonna be, you know, talking about how what our gut says about all these situations, and sometimes the guts are right. Then we're going to do a little match preview. Arsenal, pretty great, and I say great sarcastically. Arsenal starting to find form right before they play us. Wonderful, but we'll see what happens, because you know what, we're actually, you know, in pretty decent form ourselves. So we'll see what happens there, and we're going to finish, because we are a duo. We are doing. I am. Preparing a lightning round for Paul. So it'll be a lightning round for Paul. I'll be asking him all sorts of personal questions about his outlooks on life, blood type, shoe size, that kind of thing. All right? So we'll see what happens. If you're interested in Paul, it's usually, at the very least, good for, you know, some kind of laugh, because you never know what Paul's going to say. He's already suggested a very nice establishment in the Liverpool area for me and my wife to visit next time we're there.
It's a long time. That place is shut down.
Are you serious?
Yes. I lit a candle, but it is gone.
Paul. See? Okay, if this is your first time listening, Paul suggested
No. They don't need to know what I suggested. Don't need to repeat it.
Okay, Paul, okay. So, anyway, it was very, very stylish place, and it doesn't exist anymore. So, candles lit, and tears are shed. So, we'll see what happens with lightning round coming up. All right, so, anyway, we need to talk the right back deal, okay?
Yes.
Where this got started, why people are talking about this lately, is there's a recent story that came out and said that Ancelotti had been won over by Sidibe, and he was expected to give the green light for Everton to purchase Sidibe at the end of the season. For those of you who have been living under a rock, I would say you got ripped off. Don't buy that kind of place anymore. All right, we have an option to buy Sidibe for 13 or between 12 to 13 million. It's about 12.7 million pounds. We're talking about a player right now who this season is ninth in the league in tackles. He's got 4 assists, which makes him like tied for 23rd in the league in assists, which is interesting. Just to break it down via per game, 3.6 tackles per game, 1.9 interceptions, 1.2 clearances a game. Compare that to Coleman, 1.4 tackles, 1.1 interceptions, 1.1 clearances a game, and Jonjo Kenny in the Bundesliga, 1.5 tackles, 0.8 interceptions, 2.7 clearances a game. Okay? So you don't need me to say most of the stats there, which, let's be honest, those are skewed stats. They don't tell the whole story. I'm just giving you a bite-sized piece here. They do tend to lean towards Sidibe there. And I think if you were picking a start out of the three, Sidibe would be the guy. So, Paul, this is where we need to hear the genuine Paul reflection here. Are you in favor of a Sidibe Coleman sequel for next season? Are you in favor of Coleman riding off into the sunset and us using Sidibe or Kenny? Or having Coleman be the only one to return? Or having Sidibe be the only one? Or Kenny the only one? What is your... I mean, there's a lot of different combinations here. Where does your gut tell you to go on this?
Coleman being the only one to his fan?
Do what?
Not really.
What did you say? Really.
I said Coleman the only one to return.
Oh, yeah.
I was kidding. Sidibe, I think it's nailed on. We're going to buy him, isn't it? Even not everybody is enamored with him, but for the fee that's getting talked about, how can you not buy him? Is it 13 million pounds or 13 million euros?
It's between 12 to 13 million pounds.
Still, that's nothing in modern transfer, especially with English clubs. 12, 30 million pounds. That's what you're paying for an 18-year-old now. Mm-hmm. So it's nailed on that Sidibe's going to come back next season. Jonjo Kenny, there's a lot of talk that maybe another year out on loan would probably be what's best for him right now. But part of that makes me uneasy. I like Jonjo Kenny. I liked Jonjo Kenny even when he was here last season, and he was kind of in and out the side, and sometimes he was good, sometimes he was bad. He looked very raw, but I thought there was something there to work with. And I liked the fact that he was an under-23 captain. He's come through the youth academy. I thought he was someone who really the club should look to want to keep hold of and kind of make a staple in the side going forward. Obviously, you'd want the likes of him and Tom Davis and Kieran Dow. They were the players who were kind of the same generation, but not all of them are good enough. And I thought of that generation, Jonjo Kenny was the one who I probably had the most time for. But one thing that worries me is if Jonjo Kenny gets sent out on loan again, or he comes back and he's just sat on the bench behind Sidibe, I'm worried that his head's going to go where Ademola Lookman's head went. And he's going to think, right, I have to get on with my career. It doesn't look like I'm going to be a starter at Everton anytime soon, and I feel I should be a starter. So is it time I just make a tough decision and ask to go elsewhere? I worry about that because Jonjo Kenny looks like he's having the time of his life out in Germany. All the interviews I've heard of him, he's talked about what a brilliant experience it is and how he's learning so much. Is he going to want to trade that just to come and sit back on Everton's bench?
That's my question.
Yeah, or is he going to want to, even if he comes back to Everton, and let's, fingers crossed this doesn't happen, but let's say he's back at Everton and he's in the lineup every week, but Everton start not going in the direction that we all want them to go in. Like, what if we slide back down again?
Mm-hmm.
Hope that doesn't happen, but you can't rule it out, definitely not happening. Maybe he'd think, you know what, I'm better than this. I enjoyed my time at Schalke more. Schalke are a very big club in Germany, a very well-respected club that is around the European places. I just really worry. And again, if it goes back to Germany on loan, even if it's just a loan, he really thinks, you know what, I love it here. I don't want to go back to Everton no matter what they offer me. So in an ideal world, we'd have Sidibe as the number one next season with Jonjo Kenny number two, but I just don't think that's realistic.
Yeah. First question, going back to something you said about Sidibe being a kind of done and dusted almost. You didn't use the same words, I don't think, but it's pretty much nailed on, I think it's what you said, something like that.
Yeah, it looks like that.
Yeah. So here's a serious question. Just because he is such a good bargain, does that mean he should be our starting right back? Serious question, because I don't.
No.
That's the question, because I'm not sure.
No. I think he's a good player. With goods about it. I don't think he's a great player.
Mm-hmm.
If he was a great player, he wouldn't be alone at Everton. What would he be? He'd still be in the Champions League with Monaco or somebody else. So I think he's a good squad player. You should definitely bring him in, especially if we're going to be in the Europa League next season, like we all hope we are, and we're going to need bodies. I'd certainly prefer to have him than to have, you know, some young youth kid mm-hmm. who we've never heard of. Not John Joe Kenny, someone right. who's just been plucked straight to the under-23s, like some clubs do. Sidibe, let's just take the fee out of it. I worry about his wages as well, maybe. There are reports that certain clubs have been impressed by him also,
mm-hmm.
and they are in for it too.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Yeah, so I don't know if this will happen, but let's say in the summer, somebody comes to Sidibe or his agent and says, I don't know, an Inter Milan or an Atletico Madrid or whoever you like, they say, you know what, I know you liked it at Everton, we're impressed with you, we'll offer you X amount a week if you want to come and play for us next season. I don't think Everton should be breaking the bank to bring him in, wage-wise. I don't think Everton should be making him a top earner, and I'm not a starter. They shouldn't promise him a starter, a starting berth. If he, hopefully, just has fallen in love with the club and he wants to be here and he's willing to just be a squad player, then I'm all for it. But if he starts making certain demands, I'd have no problem at all if Everton let him go back to Monaco and leave him there.
Yeah, I wonder if players making those kind of demands are the type of players that Marcel Brands and Ancelotti even want on the team anyway. You know what I mean? Think about how Ancelotti likes to rotate players so much. I mean, it's not a situation where every player gets every game. He just doesn't believe in that, right?
True, but we don't really know what a player's demands are until we get them in the boardroom and ask them to sign the contract.
You could develop a preconceived notion based on a loan year when you really don't know the player and you don't know what his agent's up to either. That's true.
Yep. Well, Kaku was like that, wasn't he? We had him on loan and he loved it, and we thought we were going to sign this guy who's going to be here all his life, or hoped he would be, and then it's like he 5 minutes after we apparently signed him, he was already making noises about going somewhere else. Now he was just a stopgap. You don't know, do you?
Yeah.
You'll never know what a player's demands are until you actually sit him and his agents in a room and you actually start going over a permanent contract, not just a loan. For all we know, Sidibe just views us as a means to an end, just to get himself back in the shop window.
And he might. You may be right there. I guess my question is, we're at an interesting juncture here as a club, okay? We have Ancelotti as our manager. We have a lot of really good young talent right now, okay? And I get the vibe Ancelotti doesn't want to go out there and splurge and spend a bunch of money on huge stars, right? He wants to buy good players. They don't have to be huge stars. And he wants them to develop where we are, right? So the question is, because you brought up something interesting about Kenny as well. Kenny may not want to come back. You know what I mean? If he's looking at the fact that, hey, I can start every week in the Bundesliga, you know, he could. So if that's the case, would he not want to do that to possibly come in and be a bench player at Everton? We have no idea, right? I just wonder if just because we can get Sidibe for £13 million, I want to know what the other choices are and how much they cost. You know what I mean? If he's the best bet for money, I'm totally fine with bringing Sidibe in because we know what we have at that point. You know, but if it's a question of something a little more unknown for £20 million, but possibly a better player for £25 million. For 30, you know what I mean? Players are expensive now, good players, consistent players. And if they're from another league, that could be a risk. And Sidibe's had experience. I don't know the answer to any of these. I just feel like it's a lot of, it's not the easiest question just to one-off say yes or no. You know what I mean?
you got to take his age into consideration as well. I believe he's 27.
He's
not 21, 22. There's not a lot of time for him to develop and get better. I think if he comes here on a permanent, it's going to be his last big contract. And how many players of that age have we been burnt by over the past few years? They start well and then they just fall off a cliff and then we're stuck with them. And because of their age, we can't get anyone to take them off our hands.
It's very feast or famine with those kind of players. You know, I mean, look at Idrissa Gueye. He was not super young when we brought him in. We got him a serious bargain, and he ended up, you know, playing great for us and making us a lot of money. But then you got a player like Sidibe, who he hasn't been playing every game, but he's displayed a lot of flexibility as well, because he's played some right wing as well, right? So yeah. I think Ancelotti likes that too. Gosh, man.
True. We had Steven Pienaar back on loan that 1 year, and he was great for that 6 months, and he did well enough to convince everybody at the club to bring him back on a permanent. And then when he came back on a permanent, I mean, it wasn't all his fault, and I think he had injuries mount up, but in the end, it ended up being a poor piece of business, really, because other than that first 6 months we had him on loan, we didn't really get much out of him during his second spell. And as I said earlier on, we've signed a lot of players who do well for a period and then their form just absolutely spirals and then we regret ever buying them in the first place.
Yeah.
Like Schneiderlin, Sigurdsson, there's one or two others, Ashley Williams.
Mm-hmm. So it's all about making sure you vet the players, their personalities, injury history, all that. That's how you minimize your risk, right? And how they fit with your manager, how they fit with the pieces around them. It's a fascinating question. So where did you end up landing on this? Sidibe comes in, and anyone else?
I would buy Sidibe, but it just goes back to what I said earlier on. As long as there are no silly demands at the table, then I'm all for bringing him in. If we agree the fee with Monaco, the $13 million, and then him and his agent decide to get cute in negotiations, or they try and string us along because they've had other offers, then I want the club to just walk away and say, no, you've been here a year. You know whether you believe in this project, whether you want to be here or don't. You either take what we offer you or we go somewhere else. So I'd have no problem with signing him. I'd have absolutely no problem with not signing him. But if I had to come down on one, I think he's probably worth it as a squad player. I'd bring him in as a squad player, but I wouldn't bring him in as an absolute guaranteed starter. And I wouldn't promise him to be a guaranteed starter. I'd make it clear to him that he is going to have to fight every single training session for that shirt.
Mm. Since this segment requires me to be decisive, I will be. But I think you only buy Sidibe if he is the best potential for what you want. So if you have what you feel like is a better bet at $25 million, if you're Everton and you're in a little bit better position and you actually want to start competing on a higher level, you consider making that purchase. You know what I mean? I think, but if you're looking out there at the market and it's not feeling right, and you can get, I mean, Sidibe is a bargain regardless. But you don't buy him because he's a bargain. You buy him because he's the player that you feel like you can afford and that will fill the hole that you need. You know what I mean? You're about to say something. Those, sorry.
I'm thinking about it though, is he really a bargain? Because he's got no sell-on value because of his age, just as we've just spoke about, haven't we? He's very affordable. Just because something's cheap and affordable doesn't mean it's necessarily a bargain. Because what if, as I said, his form curtails? And then
that's a good question,
we're just
man.
Stuck, yeah, then we're stuck with more dead wood, aren't we? Hopefully not.
That's a really good question. Because it is around the same cost that we paid for Nias. That is about the same amount that we paid for Omar Nias. Just saying, not to bring up that, but
take his wages out of it. Take the wages to the side. Sandro Ramirez was a bargain on paper, a $4 million, and we can't give the guy away.
Well, see, that's right there. But that was another problem, though. The reason he was such a bargain, we put him in enormous wages because we got him for like $5 million, right? Instead of, I mean, this is at least in 13 in this market is not much. Okay, it's not much at all. It's like yesterday's $7 million. You know what I mean? It's just totally different now. So that number's a bargain. But if he's on big wages because he's a bargain, that's the way. You're right. I think we would have had a lot more success getting rid of Sandro if he wasn't on this enormous contract. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that would have worked out better.
True.
It's a great question, though. I think for what he provides, he's someone who now has Premier League experience. He now has experience with our club, and he has experience with our manager and our players. That right there, add all of that together for $13 million, and we've been able to sample it. You know what I mean? We know what we have for the most part. I think it's a better bargain and less risk than any of the other players that we mentioned for, like, bargain prices. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I think my only hesitation, and everyone else's hesitation, is maybe just his age.
And that's a good, that's a very valid one. And
yeah,
I agree.
If he was 22, 23, yeah, I'd feel a lot better about going for him and hoping that things work out. But even if we buy him and he turns out great, how long are we going to get? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? He's 27. A fullback's still the same players when they're 31, 32. Mm-hmm. Not many of them. So maybe we'll get a couple of years, but it's clear to everybody that, or it should be clear, that John Joe Kenny or someone who is of John Joe Kenny's age, who is not at the club yet, or the long term, right back.
Exactly. And see, that's the thing. That's one of the reasons why, if Kenny had the attitude for it, that would be my other selection. If Sidibe ends up being the best fit for the money, I would say Sidibe and Kenny, and then do that rotational thing and kind of see if Kenny's good enough to be. I mean, Kenny, at this point, he may be chiseled enough and groomed enough to be able to start, you know, and with Ancelotti, like, rotating, Kenny would play like every third game, right, if he's second string. But again, I want to make sure I give that caveat. If there's a 23-year-old player that we feel like can provide a more consistent defensive and in terms of is equally good going forward and just is an even better fit, I would rather make that call. But if that's not out there in the market...
Yeah, even if he's not there yet, just as long as he's got a big enough upswing.
I have a tendency to kind of understand, like, the fact that, like, I don't know everything about every club in Europe. So I just assume that there might be some really quality right backs out there that could fit us really well. I just don't, I don't have a list, you know what I mean? And so I always like to give that caveat there. I like to say that. It's almost like a disclaimer. Like, I think Sidibe can fit and can do a job for us next season. I do agree with that. And I think we'll miss Coleman's leadership. I do. You know, if he ends up riding off. Because he is good, one out of every, like, as long as you don't play him every game, he's a good player. And that is the way Ancelotti works. So if we had to move forward with Sidibe and Coleman, I think we'd still be okay. Just saying. All right. I just don't know if OK is good enough. That's the question. All right. All right. I mean, let's be honest. We have this Latin motto that we're supposed to be living up to, and it's not OK is good enough. So yeah, that's a thing. All right. That'd be an interesting little badge to have to put on someone's okay is totally fine. You know, you got your team crest and it says okay is totally fine. I'd like to see that for some club that's just signing mediocre players repeatedly. Maybe an MLS club, maybe? I don't know. I don't want to say one specifically because then I'll potentially have fans jumping down my throat. Okay, so yeah, I guess we'll find out whether OK is good enough. And it could be OK turns out better than OK. So, to be fair, you never know. All right, so that is it for our right back going forward segment. So we're here, we got a match preview happening. And now-ish. So, Arsenal match is coming up this weekend. What is in store for us now that Arteta is their manager. We know that guy. We're familiar. Current form, they're 10th in the table. They're like right behind us. They have 34 points. They're 7-13-6. Previous four matches. Let's see here. 2-2 draw with Chelsea. They beat Bournemouth 2-1 in the FA Cup. They drew 0-0 with Burnley. And recently, their most recent match is a 4-0 win over Newcastle, which I think I'm not completely sure that 4-0 describes the match completely. I think maybe there's a couple of later goals there. But regardless, it was a good win for Arsenal, and maybe things are starting to take shape for Arteta, which is great now that we're playing them now. Hey, so possible starters, Leno, Bellerin, Mustafi, David Luiz, Saka, Dani Ceballos, who actually played really well in a previous match, Garnachaka, Pepe, Ozil running in the middle, Aubameyang, and up top, Eddie Nketiah. So, Paul, give me some early thoughts on Arsenal in terms of, I don't know if you want to go with lineup, I don't know if you want to go with Arteta, just take this where you want to go, my friend.
Arsenal, they're having a very, very strange season. From the outside looking in, you'd say they're having a disastrous season, considering where they are in the table, and the fact they've sacked the manager, but I think in an awful lot of games, they haven't played that badly. I think they've been unlucky a lot of times. How many times have they? 13? Something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 13 draws.
13? That's crazy. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not going to lie, I haven't watched them every single game, but I've watched quite a bit of them over the past few months, and I seldom ever remember thinking that they were really, really bad. I think they've... A lot of those draws, they've deserved to win a lot more of them than they've deserved to lose. So it just seems like they're in a flux completely. They've got a new young manager in there. They've got a lot of players who are very, very slowly trying to change their style. I mean, there's a lot of players who still have the Wenger kind of mindset embedded into them. Then they've had Unai Emery for a year and a half trying to put his ideas into them. They clearly rejected that. And now they've got Arteta, who knows what his idea is. So they just seem like a very, very confused team with an identity crisis, but a team that is not awful at all. I think they are a team that is well capable of beating a really good team on their day. So, yeah, a draw would be a good result for me here, personally. We'll go into what we think the score later on, but I've seen a lot of people saying, oh, we have to be winning this game. Arsenal are there for the taking. I agree. I think this game is very important for our ambitions to try and get into Europe. But I'm not going to confidently predict us beating Arsenal when they've got Aubameyang and Lacazette and Xhaka back in the team now with his head fully screwed back on. I just think this is going to be a tough, tough battle.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, they're a good team. And, I mean, let's take a look at the match versus Newcastle. They scored four goals in the second half. And one of those had a move, the move leading to the third goal, consisted of 35 passes. And, like, every Arsenal player was involved. Okay? So I feel like if you want insight into what Arteta's trying to do, there's a really good example.
Yeah, it's bringing back the old Arsenal magic, isn't it? They still know a few of their old tricks from when Wenger was there, and now Arteta's slowly trying to bring it back. As I said earlier on, you looking at that team, you would not think Unai Emery had been managing that team for a year and a half up until a month or two ago. They just seem to have totally rejected all of his ideas and what he was trying to implement. So, as I said, they're just a club who I think are a massive, massive unknown quantity, and a team that is either going to turn up and be absolutely brilliant, or they're a team that is just going to, everything's going to go wrong for them. They're just a big, big question mark for me.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's it's pretty valid, and I think it's also hard to say what we're going to do. I think we're equally a question mark. Been in good form, so I want to make sure this video is positive. Because, you know, we don't want to be accused of being too negative here, even though some videos were We're predicting 2 wins and a tie, and it's still 2 negative. But no, I mean, but I get it. You know, tonally, we do need to acknowledge the fact that Everton have been in pretty good form. All right, I think there's a lot of cautious optimism about that that's in the air right now. It's like, we look good, we don't want to get too carried away, because not every match is overwhelmingly dominant. We're winning some that we don't fully deserve to win sometimes. And, you know, but the results are starting to kind of go our way a little bit more. And there's a lot of that is maybe some mentality is shifting. You know, being able to be put in the position to finish games off. So let's talk lineup, because I think recently I think this could be an interesting lineup, and I'm not sure. Is Walcott still injured?
I'm not sure, but I assume so. I haven't seen anything saying he's not injured. Put it that way, like I have.
I wasn't sure, man. I wasn't sure. I know that I have no idea if he's been training, and I know they, because we are recording this on a, you know, earlier in the week, that they haven't really had their press conference to talk about it yet. So we'll find out, right? But I am assuming that Walcott is going to be injured and not able to play. But that's the way I'm assuming. So give us your starters, man.
Pickford in goal, Stevie at right back, Mina and Mason Holgate in the centre, Dean on the left, in the middle, Fabian Delph's back, isn't he? There's only as much as I don't like him, Fabian Delph, another guy I absolutely don't like at all.
I know where you're going with this.
Consider the options we've got. Morgan Schneiderlin.
Ooh, interesting.
Morgan Schneiderlin, yeah.
I didn't know where you were going with that. Interesting. Keep going, bud. Sorry.
Yeah. On the left wing, I would use Bernard. On the right wing, let's assume Walcott is injured. Okay. Mm-hmm. I would go with... I'd try Alex Iwobi.
On the right?
On the right. And... on the right, yeah. And up top, I'd have Richarlison and Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Hard to argue with those strikers right now. I don't think you can really do anything else up top right now. Mine differs from yours a bit. Only when you got to that stumbling block, when you said Walcott out and you paused, that's where, I mean, I was sitting there just writing all the names down. And then I got to that, and I wrote down Walcott. I'm like, wait... All right, so if he's hurt, I feel like we'll see Sidibe coming in at right wing. All right, I feel like that's what Ancelotti has been doing lately. I worry about doing that. I worry about Coleman starting at right back against a team with some pretty quick wingers. But
I do.
I totally do. I worry about it. I just think that's what this is what Carlo is going to do. Pickford, Coleman, Holgate, Mina, Dean. I've got Sigurdsson in there with Delph, just because I wasn't sure how. It's strange. I worry that neither one of those is particularly defensive enough. So having Schneiderlin in there, I think you make a good pick by saying Schneiderlin in there, because I'm a little concerned that neither Delph is probably the more defensive of the two. You know what I mean? And I feel like you need somebody who's actually going to kind of shield the back four a bit. I don't know. That's why I don't...
We're going to need a sitter.
Huh?
We're going to need a sitter, I think. Just a guy who doesn't cross the halfway line hardly, and he's going to stay in front of the back four, and he's just going to mop up all the loose balls.
I think you're probably going to be right that it is going to be Schneiderlin. But I'm going to say this because I don't want to waffle.
That's my job.
So I've got Sigurdsson and Delph, although that's probably going to be wrong. I've got I wasn't sure between a Bernard or a Iwobi, because I feel like I think you could see either one popping up here for Carlo, because he likes those wings to cut in so much, and I actually think Iwobi does well cutting inside.
I do.
But I think Bernard also has proven that he can do that too, to be fair. So I'm going to go with Bernard just because I think he didn't start the last one. So there you go. I think that's right. Is that right?
No, he did, didn't he?
Did he?
Against Crystal Palace? Sure he did.
Did he?
I was there. No. Serious though, I don't fully remember, but I'm pretty sure he did.
I think you're right. I think he did start.
If he didn't, then just make fun of us in the comments.
Yeah, do that. It'll be okay. I mean, I'll cry for Fortnite, but it'll be all right. So Bernard, I'm gonna say Bernard just because. No, I don't even have a reason now. Just Bernard, yeah. And then Sidibe on the other side, and DCL Richarlison. That's it. I'm trying to think about Arsenal and which player between Iwobi or Bernard would work better against Arsenal coming in from that side, because from that side you've got Bellerin. Okay,
I played both on each side coming in, not as conventional wingers. I wouldn't play them like that. I'd just play them as what Bernard's kind of been doing.
Yeah. So
they're kind of like wide number 10s, aren't they? They just kind of buzz around in that, you know, that final 35 yards of the pitch sort of thing, or they get the ball in their own half and they carry it upwards. I don't think going down the line and whipping balls in, even though Calvert-Lewin's good in the air, is where we're going to get much joy.
We rely on our outside backs to do that too. You know what I mean? Yeah. Our wingers usually cut in a little bit more rather than serving balls in, which gives us that threat down the middle that we were lacking for years, like plural years, because we were always perennially the team that whips balls in from the wing, and just the other teams can just stack a bunch of people in the middle and just clear it out. But that's not the case anymore, which is cool. So we could see Bernard on one side and Iwobi on the other, just because they both do tend to do that well. One thing to think about is the fact that I don't know how forward Coleman's going to be trying to get if he does play right back. But if Sidibe's on the right, I think he'll feel a little braver about being able to get back defensively. Because I just worry about Coleman lately. I just do. So, anyway. Although, you know, we are talking about a player who's played a lot of big games. So, sorry. Go ahead, say what you were going to say, and then I was going to say something else.
I was just going to say, Seamus Coleman's played in a lot of big games, but I can't think of any many recent examples where he's played well in big games.
That's fair. It's really fair.
I don't mean to be harsh, but age is catching up to him, and it's a very big pitch, the Emirates. I really think Coleman would be left in the dust if we play him.
Mm. And I think that's very fair. And to be honest with you, I'm trying to think about Carlo's record and how he starts players. You know what I mean? I'm trying to think about certain situations. One of the things we haven't mentioned is Iwobi is a former Arsenal player, and he's familiar with the opposition, very familiar, and he's played on that pitch a lot. So I do believe that Iwobi is going to get some run time. And I'm actually wondering if Iwobi would start over Bernard now, having thought of that. So unless you go with Paul, and then you run with both, which you could.
I really want to see Iwobi have a good game if he plays, because I think if there was ever a game for Iwobi to really announce himself as an Everton player and get everybody on side, it's this game.
That's good. I like that, Paul.
Yeah, I like Iwobi, but an awful lot of people don't like Iwobi. If you read Twitter, a lot of people say he was a stupid buy or he's not going to fit into Carlo's system. I think if Iwobi wants to stick around long term and really get people on his side, then this is the game to start making believers out of people. And if he can't make believers out of people in this game, if he plays and he gets a fair opportunity, then I really wouldn't worry for him.
Mm-hmm. This is a weird one, because the stuff that I feel like Carlo is going to do doesn't match what I would do. You know what I mean? So, because you're saying a lot of the stuff that I would want to do, but that kind of disagrees with what I feel like Carlo has done in the past. It's a strange one. It's a really strange one. And it would help if Walcott was healthy. that would kind of solve some of the questions.
I wouldn't play Walcott even if he was.
Really?
I would go with a Wolby anyway. Over Walcott? Walcott's...
Carlo likes to play players where they play, though. You know what I mean? Like, he hasn't played Richarlison on the right at all. He's only played Richarlison at striker and on the left. Carlo really says, this is your position. And this is your side. You know what I mean? Like, the only player I've seen him playing kind of out of position has been Sidibe, you know, playing that right wing. And that has actually, I think he's been doing that when he feels like we need a little bit more assurance on the right side. Especially, and we usually do need more assurance on the right side if Coleman's playing. You know what I mean? That's why it's just a strange thing to figure out. I don't know. I'll be kind of psyched to see the starters, because I feel like this is a good conversation. Trying to predict this, because everything you're saying, Paul, makes sense to me, my friend. Yes. Prediction. What's the score going to be, man?
I'll go with 2-2.
And I am only slightly more boring. It's saying it'll be 1-1. So yeah, a couple of draws. I don't see that as being negative predictions, especially against it's away. When's the last time we won at the Emirates?
I don't think we've ever won away at the Emirates since it opened.
There you go.
We've come close a couple of times and should have won there, but no. It's been open since 2005. I don't think we've won a single game there.
So, as excited as I am every single time we play there, because I keep thinking it's going to be the year. Right now, I feel like Arsenal are starting to round into form, starting to have some belief in what their manager is bringing to the table, and I feel like we might see. I'll be really curious to see how attacking we go on this. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if we're going to be conceding a lot of possession in this one and trying to work on the counter, because I feel like Arteta is going to be trying to possess the ball a lot. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Which I think is going to leave us with not a ton of chances. But really love for it to not be the case. I think we can see a couple of draws here. Both of us can see draws, so we'll see what happens. If this was 3 weeks ago, I would predict a win here. I'm just saying, all right. But I think we have. Here's a question: are we respecting Arsenal as an entity too much here, just because of their history? Is that what we're doing?
I don't think so. It goes back to what I said earlier on. I think a lot of people think they're worse than what they really are, at least in my opinion. I don't think that they are in as bad a state as their place in the table suggests, because I know they were in the bottom half until that last result against Newcastle. But look at the amount of games they've drawn. Yeah. They've lost less games than us. I think they've lost less games than... Am I right in saying they've lost less games than Chelsea?
I think, really?
Well, maybe they've lost the same amount as Chelsea. I might be wrong there, but what I'm saying is there's not a lot in it between them and the teams that are right up the top, like Tottenham, Chelsea, Man United. I personally think they're a better side than Man United. And Man United are in the top four now, aren't they, after beating Chelsea last night?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Are they top four, or they're really close?
Really close.
I think they're really close.
I think. Yeah.
Cool.
Arsenal are not a team that are there for the taking at all. They're not as good as they were historically. They've got some problems. They've got some weaknesses that teams can exploit, but they still pack a really heavy punch if you let them land on you, to use boxing phrase. So, no, I think respecting Arsenal is the right way to go here.
Okay. All right. So... that's it for our match preview. We're picking a draw this weekend. We'll see what happens. I think hopeful of more. I mean, I feel like we go into matches with Carlo right now, and I feel like anything's possible every match. That's a good feeling. I like that. Insert crack of thunder. Yes. Yes, it's a lightning round, and because we can't give you lightning through your ears, we have to give you the sound, which is thunder. I can teach you about weather anytime you need. So what we've got here is a lightning round. We are wrapping up the show because, you know, it's just me and Paul now. It was going to be a quiz if it was going to be Paul and someone else, but it is now just me and Paul, so we are doing the lightning round. If you're unfamiliar with lightning round, where have you been, first of all? Actually, to be honest with you, it's been a while since we've done this. Essentially, the way it normally goes is I develop 20 random questions. They can be about anything. And I ask whoever is on the show these 20 questions. And we learn a lot about their preferences in life and the way they like to do things. I've done this with Paul a couple of times now, I believe. And we decided to do another one, except this time Paul's like, I want to ask questions too. So I've got 10 questions for Paul, and then he's going to ask me 10. And if any conversation comes up because of this, then hey, there you go. All right. So, Paul, you want to ask your questions first, or you want me to?
Yeah, I'll go first. That's fine. I'll put you on the spot first, Jerry, if you don't mind.
All right, that works. So I got to begin the intense quiz music. And Paul, whenever you're ready, brother.
Right. 10 lightning round questions, Jerry. First one. How old were you when you went to your first gig? And who did you go and see?
Oh, this is embarrassing. I was 16 or 17 years old. And it was a local bar called Ziggy's, which doesn't exist anymore. And it was a band called Vertical Horizon, and I didn't even like them. I just went there to hoping there would be girls there. I didn't even like the band. I was just the people I went, and I was just like, okay, let's go. So, yeah, anyway, this is the worst story.
All right. Go ahead. Question two. Favorite vacation? A vacation you've been on and you'd love to do it again.
I'm going to say Chicago. Chicago was really fun. Me and my wife went there for one of our anniversaries. Went there and basically got to Second City to see a show. We went to a play at there's this really amazing theater there. It's just really good for theater, really good food town. It just, the vibe really, really worked really well for me and the wife. It's just a cool place, man.
The city. I'd love to go there.
Yeah. Yeah, the weather is really, what you just mentioned, is the one thing that would be tough about living there, would be weather conditions. But you're from England, so yeah.
I walked home with icicle rain. I went to Chicago. Right, question three. How old were you when you first started wearing glasses, Jerry? You had to wear them day to day.
31 or 32. Yeah, and it was basically like the eyes just started gradually wearing down, and it's just like it wasn't even that, the first time I had them, they weren't that significant. It was just like if you had a lens, just a slight turn to be able to see things far off when I'm driving.
Yeah, your eyes kind of can't adjust back to not wearing them anymore.
Totally true. It's made my eyes worse, if I'm honest.
Mm-hmm. Question four. If you were a player, what do you think your position would realistically be?
When I was a player, I was a... Let's see here. The highest level I played when I played at university or college, whatever you want to call it, I played wing and striker. But I think I was more of a winger at that time just because of my work rate going up and down the pitch. I think that's probably... I didn't become like a smarter player until later on, being older. So I don't think I was cerebral enough of a player to be a center mid. You know what I mean? So yeah. I think more of a winger. I was more just like a crazy legs guy, work rate guy. You know what I mean?
So you were Theo Walcott. You were a wide forward who wanted to be a striker, but you didn't
so
quite
Theo
have...
Walcott. Yeah, that is the greatest example.
To be a striker. Yeah.
That's a good point. I like it because I didn't have the build for it either. I'm going to hold people off. No.
Question five. snow, yay or nay? Are you a fan of snow, or do you hate it?
I say yay. My wife is nay. I'm a big snow guy. It's something magical about it. Now, being snowed in for a week, after a while, you know what I mean? I become more of a nay guy, but it's just, for me, it's a special time, man. I can't help it. I really can't help it. I love it.
Love the snow.
Yeah.
Right. Question 6. You were once a high school teacher. What is the longest detention that you ever gave out to a student? So how long did you... What is the longest amount of time a student ever got put detention for by yourself?
Gotta be honest. I don't know if I ever put anybody in detention.
Oh, no. You lied.
No, I'm serious. I'm serious. I didn't have the need to do a whole lot of like discipline. You know what I mean? Like for some reason, I taught 9th grade English and creative writing, and for the most part, everybody was like super respectful. Like they were like I was a young guy at the time. I was like 23 when I was a high school teacher. Yeah. So it's like they called me by my last name, and it was really chill. But I never had to flat out say, get out of my class, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so you were kind of like the teacher who you'd hang around with after school and smoke weed with type thing.
Okay, that didn't happen, but they did come around and hang out in my classroom like during lunch and stuff like that. I was young, and I guess at that time I still understood how they thought, but I did not do the other thing you said.
I'm just... Most teachers are the best. Most schools have at least one teacher who's like that, who all the pupils like. Right, question 7. Penalty shootout, your team. Do you put your hands up and volunteer to be one of the first 5 takers? Be honest, would you?
In high school, I said yes, because I made every penalty I ever took in high school until the last one. So... I think in the past I went through a stage where I would have said yes, and then I went through a long, like a decade after that, where I would have said no. I'm at the point now where I say yes again, just because I'm trying to change my mentality about the way my outlook on life, and just being able to look at it and say, you know what, I've got a system when I take a PK or PK take a penalty, and I feel like I'm going to make it most of the time, if I'm honest. So yeah, I do raise my hand to do it now. But 10 years ago, or 5 years ago, when my confidence was lower, I wouldn't have done it.
Very honest.
Yeah.
Question 8. Most famous person you've ever met?
I almost have the exact same question. I can go a lot of different ways here, because I went to film school, right? So I actually got to meet a decent amount of, like, you know, actors. And well, I mean, one of my, I don't know if you've ever heard of Peter Bogdanovich, but he was my professor for 2 years. I was in a classroom with like 10 other people and him, okay? And I'm every single day I'm going in there and he's teaching us shot by shot Last Picture Show, okay? Or he had a whole class on Orson Welles, and he knew Orson Welles, okay? He's got a book about how they used to live together. Are you kidding me? That's insane. That's awesome. And he was just like right over there, like in my class, like, you know. And I got to, and he would always like see me go, "How's your wife?" You know, it was just so. Peter Bogdanovich is my knee jerk reaction, but I've gotten to meet some other cool people who are way, you know, more interesting than myself.
Quick side note: that movie that Orson Welles took about 40 years to make is on Netflix now.
Other Side of the Wind.
Yes.
Yeah, that one, like, other people, like, helped him, like, complete it, because, you know, he's dead now. But, yeah, they like, helped, yeah, like, piece it together.
Basically, yeah, he made the movie kind of on and off from, like, early 1970s until his death, and it's taken about 20 years post his death for the movie to finally be completed and to be released for viewing. So that's, for anyone who's interested in movies, I think it's got the record as the longest movie ever in production before release.
There is an accompanying documentary on Netflix as well. I think it's like "They'll Love Me When I'm Dead."
Yes, I've seen it.
Yeah. Yep. So good stuff for the film nerds.
Yep. Question 9: something you've never done that you're a little bit embarrassed about. So, nothing over the top. Just something that you always heard other people say. I did this. I've done that. And you think, you know what? I've never tried that. I need to do that one day. Go to a soccer match doesn't count.
See, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say that. I was going to be like, go to Goodison, man. That's the easy answer. Let's see here. I've never left the country.
Oh, really?
I've never left the country, embarrassingly. I am embarrassed of that because I badly want to. And I didn't have that desire when I was younger. And like, you know, I never really considered it a priority. And then I got married and I had kids. And all of a sudden, I'm like, gosh, I want to go everywhere. And I can't afford it. It's just the way it is. Yeah,
it's harder being old. I mean, if we want to travel anywhere in Europe, we can kind of get there in 6-7 hours at the most, type thing, on a plane type thing. Whereas, you know, it's a 24-hour flight, isn't it, for you to really get anywhere you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, right, and final question, number 10, celebrity crush.
I don't know if I have one. Seriously, I haven't thought that through.
Your wife's not Stan Jerry, come on.
No, that's the thing, though. It's like, I genuinely, like, gosh. Okay, what is her, let's see here. I really like, let's see here. Okay, have you ever seen Penny Dreadful?
I think so.
There's...
Rings a bell.
There's a very, like, awesome lady in that. I don't know her name. That's the thing. That's how little I put, like, thought I put into this stuff. I just remember watching that show and being like, wow, she's weird hot, you know? You know, and I don't think it's weird hot because I think I think everybody would find her hot. You know what I mean? But it's like, it's weird how certain personality types kind of link.
She's on your wavelength.
Yeah, just kind of, you know. So I feel like she may be French. I'm not sure. Hold on. I'm going to look it up so I can give you a legit answer. All right? Because I want to be honest.
Oh no, Jerry, if you search her now and she doesn't look like how you remember, that's going to be the most soul-crushing thing in the world. You're like, I had a crush on that.
See, and that's the thing, crush is an interesting word. Like, her name is Ava Green.
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, she was born in Paris. She's only 2 years younger than me, just saying. So... Yeah.
Eva Green.
Yeah. So, yeah. Eva Green is the answer there. So, yeah. But I usually don't, me and my wife are the kind of people where we don't talk about, like, other hot people in front of each other, just out of respect for each other, just to not hurt each other's feelings. That's why that particular question was actually really hard, because I don't even think about that stuff. You know what I mean? Isn't that weird? But... Yeah, she's a good one. I'm proud to say that one because she seems like a pretty classy lady. I know I've read interviews with her. She's pretty smart. You know, that's a good one. I'm cool with that. I'm still not going to be talking to my wife about it.
Have you seen the... Are you aware of a comedian called Peter Kay?
I think you... Have you talked to me about Peter Kay before?
He's a very famous comedian in England, and he was part of this, like, advertisement campaign where he was kind of, like, in a series of adverts for a company.
Yeah.
For an alcohol company. And there's one of them where he's kind of sat at, like, in a restaurant with his wife and his, like, wife's friends type thing.
Uh-huh.
And they're playing a game. Oh, like, if I could let you sleep with one other person, who would it be? Blah, 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 blah. And he's like, oh, no, I love you. There's nobody. Come on, I won't get angry. And he stops for a moment and he says, all right, if I have to pick one, Claire from work. The look his wife gives him, type thing. It's one of these, like, quirky one-liner adverts. And all of a sudden, they're like, the screen cuts, and then it's just the name of the lager that's getting cut.
That's great.
I think the tagline was the lager you drink with your friends, not with your wife.
That's hilarious. I feel like I've heard of something similar to that. That seems familiar. That's great. Yeah, no way would you find Jerry doing that. No way. All right. Wow. See, you dug deep there, Paul. I don't know if I'm digging that deep in these. We'll see. This is a little... You were kind of getting into my soul there. I'm not sure if I, it's just evidenced by even the first question here. So, transitioning from my ridiculous answers, and we are going to Paulinho here. All right, so let's begin. I guess continue the intense music. Paul, what's your favorite type of juice?
Blackcurrant.
Blackcurrant. You started with something I've never had before. All right. I'm serious. You call
it grape.
Oh, really? See, I've had grape juice. Yeah. Hey. So.
A joke.
So, which.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, yeah, cut all that out, whoever. All right, so which cinematic universe would you want to live in? Marvel or Game of Thrones?
That's hard because Marvel looks like it'd be a lot of fun. It'd be great to have superpowers and to basically just beat up bad people. But Game of Thrones, I'd probably get a lot of sex and eat a lot of great food and drink a lot of wine. But then you've got to balance that with the fact that I'm probably going to die in a horrific way. Get my head cut off.
Everyone dies in a horrific way.
Yeah. I'm going to get my head cut off and put on a pike, or I'm going to get burnt alive by a dragon. It's hard. I think I'll go with Game of Thrones. Live fast, die young.
All right. That is not the one I thought you'd go with. Interesting. I like it. Question 3. Sports car, four-door sedan, or SUV? Which one is Paul?
I'm not really a car guy in general, but I'd probably go with an SUV. I like cars that are, you know, kind of big status cars. Mm. If I'm driving a car, I'm looking important. So, guys in big cars, always looking important.
All right, I'm forcing you to make a choice here, although I'm not sure if you watch this at all, ever. What's your favorite MLS team?
You know what? Let me just be an absolute arse and let me just say LA Galaxy. Because they're pretty much like the establishment team, aren't they? I think. Now, they're what Bayern Munich is to Germany. Am I right?
I think you could make a little bit of that argument. I don't know. I don't know if there's as much of an establishment team anymore, because they're not, you know, head and shoulders above everybody else. You know what I mean?
They're kind of like the Hollywood team. Type thing, aren't they?
They are, but now that there's another team in LA as well, who, you know, a lot of people are picking LA, LAFC, because they got, you know, Bradley's their manager. But I will say, LA Galaxy just signed Chicharito, dude.
Yeah, and Slatan's not long been there, and they had, of course, Captain America, Landon Donovan, so. Yeah. We'll forgive them for having Steven Gerrard, but I'd probably go with LA Galaxy.
Right on. Yeah, I have to. I've liked the Sounders in the past, but now that North Carolina and Charlotte is getting a team next year, I gotta say that's gonna be my team, right? It's just the way it is. I'm supposed to support my local, eh? So, but it's non-existent yet, so we'll see. Paul, what's the best kids' movie?
I like a lot of Disney films, Disney Renaissance movies.
I don't know.
It's basically Disney movies from, like, you know, the 80s and 90s. Really popular. Kids movie. Hercules. I like Hercules. The Disney Hercules.
I saw that in the theater. I remember that. I saw it in the theater as an adult. I thought it looked pretty cool. Yeah. Okay, cool. What's the last book you read?
It's a bit grim. The last book I read was a book about a famous Nazi who went on the run, and like the hunt for him over like 40 years.
Wow.
Yeah, Josef Mengele is his name. He's basically the Nazi who was the chief doctor at Auschwitz when it was a concentration camp, and he basically committed some unspeakable crimes against people. And then when the war ended, he went on the run to South America, and there were basically 35, 40 years worth of people trying to track him down, lots of appeals, lots of, you know, private investigators. Mossad, who are basically Jerusalem's FBI, they spent a lot of time and resources trying to find him, and it was only after he died that they finally caught up to him, and it's kind of life story was kind of revealed. But whilst he was alive from basically 1945 to 1979, and he was on the run, he was basically this one big mystery, like the world's most wanted type thing of the era. So I was just finished reading about that.
That is fascinating, man. Yeah, I didn't know. I'm not sure if I knew you were like hardcore history buff. That's awesome.
Oh yeah, I love history.
Yeah, that's see the layers of Paul. You're like an onion.
Ogres.
If you're gonna quote Shrek, is that? Did you get? Did you literally just quote that? Yeah. Good. I didn't know why I felt the need to explain that joke, but hey, there it is. All right, so next, you got to pick one to continue existing. All of the Sopranos series, or all of the other gangster films. Which one would you prefer if you had to choose one? Sopranos series or like Goodfellas, Godfather, and all that stuff?
Yeah, you can't do away with Godfather or Goodfellas, can you? It's not fair. I do like The Sopranos, though. The wit on that show was amazing. One of the greatest lines in that, and I'm really dying to use it in real life. I don't think I can. It's a bit, it's a bit snarky. But there's a kind of a sit-down scene, and he got where Paulie says to Ralph, Ralph turns up late for the sit-down, and his rival Paulie kind of goes, "You're late," like in a really snarling type of voice, and he goes, "Well, tomorrow I'll be on time, but you'll be stupid forever."
Yeah,
and
I've heard
it's just completely put in his place type thing. I really want to use that, but I'm probably going to get a broken jaw if I use that on somebody. So
I've heard variations of a very similar type of line before, but yeah, that's terrific. So number eight, if you get sick, okay, let's say you get sick with a cold. What's your miracle cure? Right? Do you have certain drinks that you like to take, certain medicines, certain foods? What's your Paul's get well kit?
Bacon.
Bacon.
Just greasy bacon. Eat greasy bacon.
See, I don't know if you're serious right now.
Oh, I am serious. I'm 100% serious. When I'm hungover or when I'm just basically, when I've got stuff that needs to come out. Bacon is the perfect thing to kind of settle my digestion.
Wow, that is not what I was expecting. I was expecting to hear like Gatorade or like ginger ale, something like that. Soup. Paul jumps bacon bombs on me. There you go. All right. So number nine, which member of Friends, the show Friends, would be most compatible with Paul on a date?
On a date?
Yeah.
Phoebe. Phoebe doesn't take herself seriously. Phoebe looks like you'd have a good time with Phoebe. She'd make you laugh. And even if, even if it didn't really pan out, Phoebe's the type of person who you'd like to stay friends with, I think. So.
Yeah. You have to make sure it's actually Phoebe, though, and not Ursula. That's the problem.
Yeah. Rachel's too, yeah, she's too demanding, and Monica's would just grate on you with her OCDs. So, yeah, definitely. And the other three guys have got the plus and negatives too, but it's an absolute Phoebe.
Gotcha, with you. All right, so last is the question that you asked me. What's the biggest celebrity that you've met?
I'm going to reveal my inner nerd now. A couple of years ago, I went to go and see. Are you aware of who the Click are in professional wrestling?
I know a little bit about professional wrestling, but I don't know the Click.
But basically, the Click are a group of guys who were friends. They played kind of characters, and they were friends behind the scenes. And basically, whenever they kind of go to do autograph sessions, they always come as a group type thing. I went to go and meet them, and I basically met Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. And
I know who Kevin Nash is, and I think I know who Scott Hall
Kevin Nash was the guy I wanted to see most of all of those three. He's probably the biggest name, so I would say the professional wrestler Kevin Nash. And I got a big laugh out of Kevin Nash, and so did Terry, Terry was there too, but I'm not going to spill the beans on that. You'll have to ask Terry why Kevin Nash basically put Terry in his place in front of a room full of people. You can.
Oh my gosh.
Let's see if Terry has the guts to come clean and tell you why.
So when I said the biggest celebrity, you didn't have to pick the literal biggest celebrity that you've ever met.
Yes. He's a big lad, isn't he? He's about 6 foot ten.
He's enormous. Yeah, I mean, don't they call him Big Sexy?
Big Sexy, Big Daddy Cool, Diesel. But Kevin Nash, he was an absolutely brilliant guy.
Wow. Really cool guy. Good. You want those kind of folks that you sit there and watch on a regular basis. You want the whole meet your heroes thing to be okay. You know what I mean? Awesome. Very cool. All right, well, that's the end of the lightning round, folks. Yay! So, Paul, we need to come up with a song. No one won the quiz because we both were winners, in being honest. So, but Paul, give us a track to close out the show to, and why?
Song I really like, and I think it's quite appropriate considering that we've had to go without Everton over the past week. Love Really Hurts Without You by Billy Ocean.
Love Really Hurts Without You by Billy Ocean. Now, immediately, I think Billy Ocean. What do I think of?
You asking me?
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't sure if you knew, like, the most popular song.
I think
Really? See, I think it's Billy Ocean. Caribbean Queen?
Yeah, that's another famous one.
That's the one I know, like, immediately. I'm not sure if I know the other one, but I'm sure if I played it, I'd be like, oh, that...
I'm a bit quirky in the sense that I tend to remember songs that I've heard in movies rather than just, you know, famous artists type thing.
Fair enough.
Yeah, my playlist is made of songs that I've heard on TV shows or in films or one day randomly on the radio type thing. I don't kind of have, like, just a block of songs by one particular artist that I just listen to his album or her album.
Yeah.
Type thing. I heard this song off a movie I watched fairly recently, which is, you know, one of these, like, typical, you know, like, dark comedies made in Britain, called Filth. It's got a... It's... what's he called? The Scottish actor. He plays Charles Xavier in the new X-Men movies. It's James McAvoy.
Oh.
That's it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. James McAvoy basically plays a police detective who is kind of got a lot of things going on in the background of his life type thing.
Right.
And he's got a lot going on at work. And if, in case you don't know, filth is a derogatory term used to describe police by certain people in this country. But
I didn't know that, actually.
Yes. Yes. And he is, and it's a double entendre. He's basically... it's implied he's filth because he's police, and he's filth because he's kind of just a very mixed up guy who does a lot of gotcha. Mixed up things.
So wordplay, is that what you're saying? Wordplay?
Yes. So I watched that recently, and that film kind of fades out with this song playing over the top of it, and the credits.
Is it used, like, genuinely, or is it used sort of ironically, the song?
Ironically. It's used ironically. I won't give away the ending, but, like, the ending is very kind of like doesn't match the kind of happy feel that song has type thing.
Good
it's every bit a dark comedy type thing. Like,
I'm a huge fan of when the juxtaposition of feeling, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of times in the movie Office Space with their, like, hardcore rap from the 90s that they would bring in, and it's perfect, and it makes no sense, and I love it. So good. So, yeah. Awesome. Okay, well, you're kind of making me want to see that movie now. Fantastic. All right. Well, then, I guess, as you're played out to Billy Ocean, it's time to end the Toffee Blues podcast. So, Paul, thanks so much, man. Good stuff. Appreciate your candor. Because that's
you
the... I feel like that's... which should always follow lightning rounds, which this wasn't even really a lightning round. We had, like, stories intermingled. This was sort of like just more of a, I don't know, slow jams round. It was just more easy questions, talking through it. Hey, there you go. Stories involved. All right. So anyway, if you've been listening to the podcast, we really appreciate you listening. Thanks so much. If for some reason you're like, hey, I want to picture what it was like for Paul standing beside Kevin Nash, watch our YouTube channel. You can see what Paul looks like. All right? It's really the reason to watch YouTube channel is to see the faces, right? Also, if you like your segments a little more condensed, YouTube channel has these segments broken up, and there's additional content that doesn't come on our podcast. So please check that out whenever you can. Subscribe to the Toffee Blues YouTube channel is what I'm saying. If you want more Paul has a lot of content that shows up on the Toffee Blues website. All Everton-based stuff. It's a lot of Everton analysis. So you can check out his Twitter details. They should be below. Check that out. And he also just says a lot of life stuff on there. Yeah. Have a conversation with Paul, is what I'm saying. So check that out. The Toffee Blues website in general. A lot of Everton content on there. All things Everton. All the time. Follow the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I have nothing to plug for myself yet, but soon, I am told. Soon. Question mark. What is he talking about? We'll find out. Yeah, that's it. That's all I got. Paul, thanks so much, man. Appreciate your time.
You too.
All right, brother. Have a good one. And everybody else out there, let's hope Blues give us good performance this weekend. Much love. Have a good one. Bye.